Picture an adorable Christmas pageant. Lots of kids, couple of songs. Little bald-headed doll as baby Jesus. All the parents going, aww. And just as they're about to wrap up with joy to the world, a little girl with a crown kept tugging at the minister's sleeve, wanting her to say, I have something to say. All right, Jessica, before the pageant's over, what do you have to say? And she looked out at the audience, her curly hair and dimples highlighted by the stage lights they'd set up for the production. I'm King Herod, and I'm going to kill all of your babies. Nobody knew what to say. It was a rather uncomfortable way to end the pageant. My apologies. And as long as I'm apologizing for that story, let me apologize for what comes next. Choices and decisions. And I know you're pretty much done. I mean, you figured out who got what for Christmas and whose family got Christmas and who got Boxing Day and who got their favorite dinner and who had to shut up and just eat the turnip because that's the way it is. You decided what to wear this morning. You figured out what muffins to eat. And now I'm going to offer you yet another choice this morning. See, we just heard Matthew's story about what happens after the birth of Jesus. And we heard Luke's too. And Matthew's was babies being killed and people running away and hiding. But Luke's, we heard that. Oh, Luke's, there's no Herod. There's no infanticide. There's no horror. There's just this lovely older couple named Anna and Simeon greeting the Christ child, recognizing the Christ child, finding peace. Oh, it's so much nicer. But they're both in the Bible. So which do you choose? Matthew tells us about Herod hunting the child and killing children. Luke tells us about Mary and Joseph taking their child to the temple to be dedicated. Some people try to put those stories together. Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem, had the baby dedicated, and then went back to Bethlehem, although nobody can imagine why they'd go back to Bethlehem. And then some would suggest that Mary and Joseph came back to Bethlehem just in time for Herod to slaughter the children, and then they fled again. It's awkward at best. Very hard to put them together. I don't think they belong together as a narrative. I think they belong together in our Bible. I think they belong together in our tradition because it's a rather creative way of inviting us to choose. Herod the king or Simeon the old man? Both are confronted with the Christ child. The promise, the power, the presence of God. There it is. Do you choose Herod? Or do you choose Simeon? Herod's like many kings who have been confronted by change. He sees change as a threat. Tradition versus innovation, a new way of doing things. So what is he? He fights it. He seeks to destroy it. And as you may know or suspect, Herod is bitter and afraid. And he will die that way, bitter and afraid. Simeon is old. Also a traditionalist, he's at the temple every day. But where Herod fears the new, Simeon meets the new and embraces it, finds a place for it. He knows that it will be difficult. If you listen to the words, he knows a sword will pierce your heart. He knows, but he sees the promise. And Simeon will also die. We all do. But he dies in peace. At the end of his life, he's not trying to hold on to power. He's not looking over his shoulder. He's saying the words of a prayer. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen the salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. Simeon, Herod. So let's be honest with ourselves. Who were you in 2018? Simeon or Herod? I confess that I have probably been a little more Herod than I would like to admit. Because you see, here's the thing. There's a way that I like to do things. It's called the right way. And I have traditions that are important to me. Well, I don't even know if they're all that important, but I've always done things a certain way. And I'll be honest, I'm not always cheerful about change. You see, I'm very cheerful about changing you. I love changing other people. But I'm not so great at embracing change myself. You know? The church changes the way we talk about God? Well, then I quit. Because Herod would. The church changes the way we talk about God. I stay and I engage in the conversation, knowing that God is more than any words that I could ever speak. And in new words, a little more of the reality of God becomes meaningful to me. Simeon would understand that. My team fires its head coach, trades away their best player. That's it, I quit watching. Herod would. He'd give up his season's tickets. My team makes some major changes that I don't understand, but I realize it's a game and they want to win as much as I want to win. And then at mid-season, I look around and realize we're the best team in basketball. And Simeon's cheering his fool head off. My community organization decides to raise money by going after corporate sponsorship. That's not the way we do things. Simeon or Herod? My daughter brings home a new girlfriend from an entirely different culture. Herod or Simeon? My son gives up his high-paying job in finance to spend a year in Italy painting. Herod or Simeon? Right? My best friend decides to finally give up on the Leafs and start cheering for the Montreal Canadiens. Herod or... Okay, never mind, because some things are always just wrong. We know that. Okay. But honestly, this year we decided... it was decided that we would go to Kitchener for Christmas, and my son and his partner would host Christmas. But here's the thing. I work late on Christmas Eve, you know? I don't want to get up and drive. I want to sit in my PJs and have naps. And who has halal turkey for Christmas? Like, really? That's a thing? You can have halal turkey? I don't. It's not going to be better than my wife's perfectly brined 18-pound turkey with leftovers that will feed me for a week. Herod wouldn't have gone. He would get his naps and his way. And I'm pretty sure that he would have not risked halal turkey. Potatoes won't be as good either, by the way. I probably won't get my corn. How could it be Christmas without corn, potatoes, and our usual turkey and my naps? You know, Herod actually probably would have gone to Kitchener, bought up all the halal turkeys, and destroyed them. But I can't afford that. I also love my son and his partner, and I love their home, and I love the delight in their eyes when we arrived, and the joy that filled that place and my heart. And although I didn't really want to, I chose Simeon. And we shared this fantastic Christmas day and dinner, and we talked about last year's Christmas lasagna. That wasn't a turkey. And the time we did duck, and the time we had goose, and the time we did turkey poutine for Christmas. And I realized I have actually chosen Simeon before, and it was pretty good. It's just not my go-to. In 2019, you and I get to decide between Herod and Simeon. And I guarantee this, you will get lots and lots and lots of opportunities. Moving to a new place, finding a new job, experiencing new family dynamics as some people have passed away, others have been added to the family. With all that we do, we get to decide if we're the ones who can embrace change and trust God to find a place for us, or we can resist change and fight to keep things as they are. We can choose to rule, or we can choose to embrace. We can choose light, we can choose dark. We can choose looking forward or looking behind us all the time. I mean, let's face it, Herod's story is a dark one. Something different is on the way. Change is upon this king, and his response is to do anything he can do to stop it, thwart it, destroy it if necessary. Simeon has seen the light of revelation, and he becomes a light himself. A baby arrives in the scene, announcing a change in the way that things will be done. A change in the way that things will be understood. And for a man who goes to church every day, it must have been challenging. Just imagine, one day, all your church traditions and habits gone, and everything's different. I know nobody here would have any idea what that's like. Nobody from St. John's, for instance, who showed up here one day and went, oh my goodness, this isn't the same. We have no idea what that's like, except that we know exactly what it's like. Simeon faced that challenge, and he embraced it, and he found peace. I'd like that. And I really could just end right here, right now. But you all look dressed for a bedtime story. So let me tell you just one bedtime story. One that's particularly appropriate when things seem dark and the world seems to be more Herod than Simeon. The story's not mine. It was told by a man who grew up in the woods of Minnesota during the 1930s Depression. His father suffered from mental illness, which, of course, we didn't talk about in those days. We barely talk now. It was a thing to be hidden behind doors. And when his father was relatively well, life was not bad for the family. But when the darkness, as his father called it, descended, he would become moody and violent. His father was terrified of the darkness, both the darkness outside himself and the darkness within that just ate at him. And the only thing that eased his torment were light and this bizarre potion brought by the goat lady. Now, some people thought of the goat lady as a witch. She lived alone with her goats, and she seemed to have a knack for discerning when others were in pain. Somehow, the goat lady always knew when the darkness descended on the storyteller's father. And she would arrive at their doorstep with a pail of goat's milk sweetened with a little syrup and laced with some herbs known only to her. Whatever was in the milk always calmed his father, eased his fears, and reduced the violent episodes. And the fellow remembered especially one Christmas Eve. He was 9 years old. And that year it began snowing a couple of days before Christmas. And as the days got shorter, the snow got deeper, and the darkness grew both outside and within his father. And because of the snow, the author's mother was unable to go out and buy more kerosene for their lamps. So by late afternoon on Christmas Eve, they only had one lamp left, and the fuel in it was almost gone. And the father begged his wife to not let the lamp go out. She needed to find more kerosene. If the lamp went out, the darkness would destroy him. And the family's only connection to the outside world in that fierce snowstorm was the party line that they shared with 17 other families. Some of us know how that works. By ringing the right number of longs and shorts, you could reach other members of the party line. And of course, that usually meant you got the rest of the party line too, as they all listened in on the conversations. Well, reluctantly, the mother finally gave in to her husband's pleading, and she called a neighbor and asked if he had any extra kerosene that he could lend them. They were desperate. As it turned out, he had extra, but because of the ferocious snowstorm, he didn't know how to get it to them. A little later, the little boy was sitting and staring out the window into the darkness and the snowstorm. And he dreaded that moment when the kerosene would run out and his father would lose the battle with his own darkness. And then, just out there, he saw a light coming toward the house. And he could just make out the goat lady carrying a pail of goat's milk in one hand and waving her arm as if to push back the storm as she made her way to the house. And then a miracle happened. It was as if she'd actually pushed away the storm. The clouds parted, a full moon shone on the freshly fallen snow, and stars twinkled like diamonds. But that's not all he saw. Because coming through the woods from 17 different directions were more lights and the lanterns of the neighbors on the party line. And soon their little house was filled with people and light, and not a single corner was left in the shadows. And Christmas cookies appeared out of nowhere, accompanied by hot coffee, and fellowship and laughter rang out. And even his father's own personal darkness was dispelled by the light bearers and the goat lady's pail of milk. Before they left, someone brought in the family's kerosene barrel, and each one poured the kerosene from their lantern into the barrel, leaving just enough that they could get home. As the neighbors left, the boy once again sat at the window and watched as the lanterns went off in 17 different directions, like the rays of a brilliant star. The end. But not the end. When I feel the world is getting dark, I remember that story. In this very community, I have seen the truth of that story. In 2019, I want to be a light bearer. I want to be like Simeon. I don't want to be afraid of change or afraid of tomorrow. I want to trust God. I want to embrace. And I want to be able to say sincerely, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation and for glory to your people. Amen.